that it feels like fall, doesn't it? Some of you really enjoy that, and some of you, it's like, oh man, I'm already looking for Indian summer, that would have a little bit of warm weather again. It's not the weather that changes our seasons, but sometimes, for me, it's the schedule of preaching. Started a series, planned it way back in March and April, through July and August. We've been talking about the relationship principles of Jesus. My hope and my prayer is that in this season of time, you've been walking with the expert in relationships. If you walk with Jesus Christ, if you spend time with Jesus Christ has the potential. He has the ability to radically change our relationships. So I just want to encourage you. Yeah, our series is coming to an end today, but I just really want to encourage you to walk with Jesus. Let Jesus Christ change you that he might change your relationships, that our relationships together would be that which brings glory and honor to God. As we've walked with Jesus, we've noted some things. We walked with him and we noticed one coming up and asking him, what's the greatest commandment? And Jesus said, love the Lord your God. Love him with all of your heart, with all of your mind, and with all of your soul, and with all of your strength. Oh, and there's another. Love your neighbor as yourself. You see, the first relationship principle that we looked at was to put a high value on relationships. Put a high value on relationships. Can you imagine somebody looking at you, looking you right in the eyes, and saying, you know what? No matter how busy you were, when things were going crazy in my life, you had time for me. You listened to me. You encouraged me. Wouldn't that be amazing? Oh, that can happen. When we put a high value on relationships, when we put a high value on our relationship with Jesus Christ, and we grow in our relationship with Christ, and Christ begins to flow through us, and then we begin to see the value and the significance of loving others as ourselves. Let's look at the relationship principles. In the upper room, Jesus, knowing he didn't have a lot of hours left, and so he gave them a new commandment. He says, a new command I have for you is I have loved you. I want you to love one another. So Jesus gave us one of those relationship principles. Love one another even as Jesus has loved you. Can you imagine your life with the love of Jesus Christ flowing through it? We saw Jesus being the living example of the principle, think of others as more important than yourself. We saw that Jesus came when we wanted nothing to do with him, came and died, gave his life for us. He is the epitome of think of others as more important than yourself. Can you imagine what our lives would be like if we, within our relationships, we began to see others as more important than ourselves? Imagine taking a cup of coffee in the morning to someone you really dislike and serving them. Imagine setting aside your personal agenda to make time for another. Setting aside your personal resources to meet another's need and allowing the love of God to flow through you. Another of Jesus' principles was, as you judge, you will be judged. We remember hearing Jesus talk about taking the log out of our own eyes. taking the log out of our own eyes so that we might then be capable of showing mercy and grace and helping another with the speck in their eye. Can you imagine our lives, what they would be like? Every time we saw sin in someone else, it made us not look at them critically, but look at our own lives and examine to see what sin was within our own lives, and then dealing with the sin in our lives. And imagine if we dealt with the sin first in our lives, how better we would be equipped than in help others to deal with the issues within their own lives. We saw Jesus with a child, taking him up onto his lap and talking about what real greatness is all about. Jesus taught that the greatest are the servants. And so just imagine a day in the future when you're in heaven and all you can see is the glory of Jesus' face. All you can hear with your ear is his voice. And Jesus says to you, "Well done, good and faithful servant. And as much as you've done it to the least, as much as you've done it to the last, as much as you've done it to the lost, you did it to me." And he welcomes you and embraces you with his arms. How's that going to feel? Well, we can feel that way right now when we begin to absorb and understand that the greatest are the servants. And as Christ came to serve, we serve in his name. As we've talked about relationships time and time again, we've went back to a part of scriptures. We've went back time and time again to the Sermon on the Mount. And we're going to go back there again, if I can find it. Luke 6. It's our children's sermon. Luke 6. It's a simple principle that's being taught this morning. It's one that you likely picked up before you ever went to school. It's simple, but yet it's so profound that we often miss its significance to healthy relationships. I'm going to read the first passage now, and then in a few moments I'll read the latter half. Luke 6, beginning with verse 27. "But I tell you who hear me," Jesus is speaking, "love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. If someone strikes you on one cheek, turn to him the other also. If someone takes your cloak, do not stop him from taking your tunic as well. Give to everyone who asks you, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back." And now that which we know is the golden rule. "Do to others as you would have them do to you." If we lived by the golden rule, things would be amazingly different in our lives. But if we're real honest, all too often we live by another set of rules. Let's look at three of those. You have your outline there. You can fill in the blanks. The first rule that we sometimes live by is the rule that says, "I treat others the way they have treated me." It's the reciprocal rule. I'll treat you the way you treat me. You scratch my back, I'll scratch your back. You help me, I'll help you. I'll treat you how you have treated me. Good or bad? The reciprocal rule. The second one, I treat others the way others have treated me. I'll treat you how others have treated me. It's not necessarily how you've even treated me, But because my parents have had an influence upon me, because others who have been so-called friends have had an influence upon me, because the community I was raised in had an influence upon me, because those older had an influence upon me, as others have treated me, whether we like to admit it or not, we often treat others in that way. There's a third one. I treat others the way I think they're going to treat me. You ever do that? I treat others the way I think that they're going to treat me. If you're going to give me the shaft, well, I'm going to give you the shaft first. That's basically how that works. Ask a child and help me to understand the golden rule. And what's a child going to say? Not understanding that do unto others, the child may just respond, do one to others before they do one to you. And we live that way at times. We want to get ahead of them, and before they do it to us, we'll do it to them. Not the golden rule by any means. Golden rule, simple. Do unto others. Some versions treat others. Other versions care for others. Treat others the way you want them to treat you. So how do we make this golden rule real in our lives? How do we change this thing from being a platitude to an attitude that brings forth action that helps us to have healthy relationships? Now, to do this, we have to understand that hidden word right in the middle of the golden rule. What's that hidden rule right in the middle of the golden rule? It's the word want. Do you see it there? Treat others the way you want them to treat you. The golden rule is actually about figuring out about what others want and need. Now, I don't know how well I'll do explaining this, but I'll try. In our selfish mindset, when I say do unto others as I would want them to do to me, in my selfish mindset, I think that's saying that I should treat someone, Joe, I should treat Joe the way I want to be treated. That's how we pretty much think of that. I actually think what the golden rule is saying is that I shouldn't treat Joe the way I want to be treated. Now, catch this. I should treat Joe the way Joe wants to be treated. Why? Because I want to be treated in relationship to who I am, to what my needs are. And so I don't want to treat Joe like I want to be treated. I treat Joe like Joe wants to be treated. Because I want to be treated like the individual that I am with my own wants and needs. But I don't treat Joe the way I want to be treated with my own individual wants and needs. I need to understand what Joe's wants and needs are. Have I confused you totally yet? It's about understanding in the golden rule what the other person's wants and needs are. Have you figured it out yet in life that other people's wants and needs aren't the same as your wants and needs? Have you figured that out yet? Get married. A spouse will be happy to tell you and help you out with that teaching point. You take a spouse and they get a present, you know, for their spouse. And I'm not going to say the husband gets it for a wife or wife gets it for the husband, and they feel really good about it. And the other spouse kind of looks at them like, what's this? What were you thinking about? Well, they were thinking about themselves. And they kind of applied the golden rule. I gave you something that I'd like. That's not it. Golden rule is, I'll do for you according to that which you need and want. Not according to what I need and want. You get that? Take a child this week. Not an older teenager. They like to spend money. They like to go clothes shopping. Well, they like to spend money. I don't know if it's for clothes or not. But you take a younger second, third grader this week and say, okay, school's about to start. We're going clothes shopping. And they just look and say, oh, that's like the most painful thing that they could be doing. Why are they making me do this? Because their needs are different than your needs. So we have to understand the golden rule is about wants. But it's not your wants. It's what identifying, looking at what are their wants. Now, way back in the 80s, I read a book, His Needs, Her Needs. And I'm going to use marriage as the way to illustrate this for a few moments. His Needs, Her Needs, Building an Affair-Proof Marriage. The author talked about the basic needs of husbands, the basic needs of wives, and tried to help us understand, those who are reading the book, they're different. Surveyed thousands of people, boiled it down, top five men, top five women, top five husbands, top five wives. So, top five needs in marriage for husbands. Okay, real quick. Sexual fulfillment. Gee, does that surprise you guys? Women, what do you think? And by the way, there is fulfillment in that. It's not just sex. It's that each would be truly fulfilled in the relationship. Number two, recreational companionship. Guys like to do things. They like a lady that does things with them. Number three, an attractive spouse. That does not mean every 40 and 50-year-old wants a 20-year-old. Okay, that's not what it means. Just a wife that is making herself attractive to him. Number four, domestic support. Most guys are domestically challenged. When it comes to the laundry thing, when it comes to the cooking thing, throw in a couple kids, and they're like in quicksand. And they need domestic support. And number five, it's part of a guy's DNA. Wants respect. You see that in Ephesians 5. Talks about a guy needing, wanting, desiring respect. Guys are about what they do. They want respect for what they do. Okay, top five guys. Not every guy, not in that exact order by any means, but just top five. Now, what about wives? What did they say their basic needs were in marriage? Number one, the need for affection. Now, guys think sex and affection are the same thing. But ask any of the ladies, they'll tell you quite a different story. They want affection. They want conversation. They want time and opportunity to be listened to, and they want to be able to share their feelings. They have a need, number three, for honesty and openness in a guy. A guy that's honest and open about weaknesses, about struggle. Again, it's all about that conversation and affection thing, I guess. I don't get it yet. Number four, the need for financial support. Now, there's a lot of wives, and I was married to one of those for a season of time that made more money than I did. A wife wants a guy that's going to provide financial support. Doesn't mean that the wife might be making more money. But they want to know that he wants to provide. And number five, the need for family commitment. Not a commitment to a job or to a career, but a feeling that he's really committed to family and willing to commit time and energy to be a part of family. Now, I'm just using those as illustrations to make my point about the golden rule. Because how's it work out? This is how it works out. And it can be any of your relationships, not just marriage relationships. See, it works out like this. The guy, he understands she needs affection. And he basically comes to the conclusion, I'm not a very affectionate person. And so she can't really expect me to be affectionate because I'm not an affectionate person. And so what the guy is basically saying to his wife is that I'm not going to try to work at fulfilling the greatest need in your life. And from there, the relationship truly does begin to slowly crumble away. What about the guy applying the golden rule to treat her the way he would want to be treated? See, he'd want to be treated with respect for what he does. Well, she has a different set of needs, and he needs to understand her needs, and he needs to care for her in the framework of what her needs are. And so what about him saying, God, I can't do it, but God, I know through you I can do all things. God, will you help me to change so that I might indeed apply the golden rule, so that I might be able to love on her and show affection to her in the way that she needs it in her life. Whoop, sorry about this. Brand new toy of Sean. Just fell off my ear. It's okay, Sean. You don't need to jump up or get excited. There. Do you begin to understand the picture? Now, let me go a step further. Susan and I have attended a seminar by Emerson Eggerich, and he talks about this crazy cycle in our lives. And go ahead and put up and show the picture of the crazy cycle. You see, sometimes we just don't get it. And when we just don't get it, what ends up happening is we get into this cycle. And it's your turn. It's your turn. I've tried. Now it's your turn. I've tried, and you haven't responded, so it's your turn. I'm going to wait for you to make the move. Don't call any of us stubborn or anything, but we have a tendency to always want the other person to change, do we not? Does the golden rule put responsibility on the other person? No, it doesn't. Puts it all upon us. So in the crazy cycle, using that image of a husband and a wife, the guy has a need to be respected. The woman has a need to be loved for affection. And so she basically says, without the affection, you ain't getting no respect. He says, without the respect, you ain't getting no love. And it's a crazy cycle. And it keeps going. Now, the golden rule does not say whose turn it is. You know, you remember those balls that would say yes or no, or, you know, in them and stuff, and you shake them and you flip and say, does it say yes? Does it say no? Is it your turn? Is it my turn? Well, the golden rule doesn't say it's her turn or his turn. The golden rule says sooner or later, somebody has to be Christ-like and say, I am going to do that which Christ would do, and Christ would treat the person how he made the person, and if he made the person with a certain need in their life, he was going to speak into that need and meet that need. We need to break the crazy cycle. And the reality is we can't wait for the other person to break it. We need to break it in our own lives. Now, I just want to make a side note here and say that every religion, and you can take a look at all the world religions, everyone has a golden rule. You know, read Tom Holliday. He gives a list of them in one of the daily devotionals this week. Now, every world religion, Hinduism, you know, Confucianism, Buddhism, Judaism, all have a golden rule. See, a golden rule is a basic good idea. But Christianity has something unique about the golden rule. One, it raises the standard. But more importantly, Jesus Christ offers to change you. Jesus Christ offers to change you. The golden rule is about that which we can't do. How are you doing on it? You want to give yourself a grade? We struggle with it. But the message of Christ is that through me, you can do all things. I will come into you. I will fill you with my spirit. I've given you my model. In you my spirit, and you can do this. Now, what's he saying we can do? Let's read the end of the text. he raises the bar. Verse 32, if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. But, just love those buts in the Bible. But, love your enemies. Do good to them. Lend to them without expecting to get anything back. So who are we loving? Who are we doing good to? Who are we lending to? Not those who are our friends. Jesus clearly raises the standard. He gives us three applications to the golden rule. Fill in your blanks there. Jesus says, you love not only your friends, but also your enemies. Second, you do good not only to those who do good to you, but to everybody. Third, you lend to those who you know will not be able to repay you. Yeah, like right. We lend to those who we know who can repay us, but there are going to be times where there are going to be those who have a need, and yes, we might even have to call it that we're lending it to them because that's the only way they're going to accept it, but in the reality, we know that they aren't going to be able to repay it. Who do we lend to? Those that we like? Those who are our friends? No. It says we do it to our enemies. Love your enemies. Give to your enemies. That really widens the circle. Now, so this is my question to you. Can you do it? No. Not without Christ. Do you see that the golden rule is not a matter of reciprocating? It's a matter of sacrificing. It's not a matter of reciprocal action. It's a matter of sacrificial action. When we're thinking the golden rule, we're sometimes thinking, you scratch my back and I'll scratch your back. What did Jesus say? You whip my back and you tear the flesh off of my back. And I'll lay down my life for you. I don't have the power to do that, do you? In and of myself, I do not have the power to do that. Do you? Well, Jesus Christ says, through me you can do all things. You can live the golden rule. You can give to your enemy. Love on your enemy. By my power. By my spirit. Now I just want to hit up the end of the verse there and we'll wrap up this series. This is a good word for the conclusion of 6 weeks of preaching. Then your reward will be great, and you will be the sons of the Most High. What a word. Then, as you learn to love on others, just as Christ has loved on you, as you learn to serve others just as Christ has served you, as you learn to forgive others just as Christ has forgiven you, then your reward is going to be great, and that is in the present tense, that is in the future tense. Your reward is going to be great right now because you are going to be given a peace that surpasses all understanding. You are going to be a joy, given a joy that is not tied to your circumstances, and you will be called the children of the Most High God. And why will you be called that? Because people will see in you something that they don't see just in everybody. They see something that is unique in you, and they end up tying it that God is in you. Your reward will be great. You'll be called the children of the Most High God. And then there's this word, and it's a significant word, because. Why will your reward be great? Why will you be called a child of God? Why? Because he's kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. And that wasn't talking about someone else. That was talking to the disciples. You see, we are the ungrateful. We are the wicked. And this just takes us right back to the gospel. Our reward is not going to be great because we do good things. We can't do enough good things. Our reward is not going to be great because we get our acts all together and have nothing but healthy relationships. We're never going to arrive to the point in our lives where we have but healthy relationships. But as we strive to serve Christ, as we strive to live in Christ, as we strive to allow Christ to all of our relationships, he says, yes, your reward's going to be great. You're going to be considered by others as being children of God. Why? Because God has shown you, you who have been ungrateful. Before you ever came to Christ, you were ungrateful. Times since you've come to Christ, you've been ungrateful. Admit it. Times before you came to Christ, you were quite wicked. Times since you've come to Christ, you have done that which is wrong. But God shows mercy to the ungrateful and to the wicked. That's why God's going to use you to bless others. And then that closing statement, Tom Holliday calls it the platinum rule. You know, when you have a credit card for so long, you might have a gold card. I thought the gold card was like the best card you could have. But then all of a sudden, after a certain period of time, if you've had really good credit, you've paid your bill on time and stuff, then they offer you a platinum card with even higher expectations, but it also has greater rewards. So Tom Holliday, in a day devotional this week, calls this the platinum rule. And what's the platinum rule? Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. You see, the golden rule was do to others as you would have them do to you. That was in relationship to their needs. You treat them. The platinum rule says, okay, now you want to raise the bar? It has nothing to do with them. It has to do with your Heavenly Father. And as He has shown you mercy, you extend that mercy to others. So the relationship principles of Jesus summarized: as God has treated you, so may you treat others. As God has shown you mercy, may you extend mercy. Let's pray. Father, I don't know that any of us are capable of loving in the way you want us to love. Show us how. Then give us the strength. Lord, thank you for your example. Thank you for your promise of the Holy Spirit to take up control of our lives, to teach us, to guide us, to remind us of all that you've shown us in your life. Lord, I want to love the way that you love. As crazy as a dream as that is, as high as a goal as that is, Lord, I want to commit myself to spend the rest of my life pursuing that goal, to love others the way you have loved me. Jesus, help each of us to love like you have loved, to show mercy and grace as you have shown mercy and grace, to treat people like you have treated us, and to talk to people as you have talked to people. Jesus, we need your Spirit to empower us. Come, take control of all of our fears, all of our hesitancy. Fill us with your Spirit, that we would be empowered, that we would be changed from within. Fill us with your Spirit so that we might glorify and honor you in our relationships. Lord, help us this week to take that step. Help us to figure out how to treat others as they need to be treated, to care for others as they need to be cared for. Lord, we commit ourselves to your kind of love. We pray all of this in your precious name, Jesus. Amen.